بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد we continue our discussion about أركان الصلاة أركان الصلاة the pillars of the prayer and we have seen in our previous class that the pillars are 14 pillars for the salah to be established correctly. And we have seen that a pillar is something that a thing will be established by way of. And if a pillar from the pillars of something, of a building or any affair is not present, then that thing will not be present. And like a building it has pillars. If one of those pillars are removed, then the structure will fall. It will not be present. And likewise, the salah has pillars, and if all of them are not present, meaning if one of them is removed or has a deficiency to where it is considered invalid, then that would invalidate the entire prayer. That would invalidate the entire prayer. Whether somebody, he performed that on purpose or he did it on accident, he left it on purpose, his prayer is invalidated. He forgot the pillar and never brought it, his prayer is invalidated. Even if he forgot and he didn't bring it, his prayer will be invalidated. Or if he was ignorant, he did not know, and the likes, then the prayer will be invalidated. The pillar, the rukun, or the arkan, they must be present. They must be present. And these are from the minimum requirements. From the minimum requirements for the prayer to be correct, is that one will bring the arkan and the wajibat. The arkan and the wajibat. So now, we continue our discussion with regards to the arkan, but we want to go into some details today, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, with regards to each pillar, so that we know the minimum requirement for each pillar to be correct. So we want to review the arkan. There are 14. Who can remind us of them? Al-qiyam, standing. Standing with ability. Al-qiyamu ma'a qudra, to stand for the one who has the ability. And this is with regards to the obligatory prayer. This is with regards to the obligatory prayer. So standing with the ability, the one who has the ability to stand, he must stand. We're just going to mention them briefly now, and the details, inshallah, we discuss them in class. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. After that, takbirat al-ihram, saying Allahu Akbar. Then after that, reciting the Fatiha. After that, making ruku', making the proper ruku'. And after that, al-raf'u minhu. Now, this is what we mentioned in the previous class, but I want to make a minor correction. We said the al-raf'u minhu, but we want to say al-i'tidalu minhu. This is more correct. Raising from it, yes, but the pillar is not just raising from it, but making al-i'tidalu minhu, to raise up until one is straight again. That's the pillar of ruku'. Not just raising from ruku', but raising up until one is straight again. Al-i'tidalu minhu. So then we say al-ruku', this is a pillar. Wal-i'tidalu minhu, and to raise up all the way from it. And the definition of al-i'tidal from the ruku' is that the bones of the back will go back to where they were. He will be standing up. حتى يرجع كل فقار مكانه. As has come in the narrations, until the back bones, they are standing, one stands back up straight until all of the bones of his back go back to where they were, whenever he was in the standing position. So this is a point here to take with regards to what has preceded. الركوع والاعتدال منه, and to stand up straight from it. Ma'am, so that was number five. Number six is sujood. And then al-raf'u minhu, raising up from sujood. And then after that, al-jilsa bayna as-sajdataini, sitting between the two sajda. And then after that, al-tumanina fi jimi'i al-arkan, to have tumanina. And we talked about that pillar likewise. And we've seen the affair of that. That means that one will rest in the position. He will get to that position and he will rest. He will get to that position and he will rest there for a moment. And his body will become still in that position before he moves to the next position. And then after that, at-tartib, that everything has to be done in the order that has come in the narrations and in the description of the prayer
of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, particularly in the narration we're discussing. What is the name of that narration? The narration that we're discussing. Hadith. Musi salatahu nam, the one who prayed bad. This is the name of that narration, well known to the people of knowledge. And this one, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's teaching him what he needs to know to make the prayer correct. Nam, he's teaching him what he needs to know in order to make the prayer correct. After that, at tashahud al-akhir, the last tashahud, the final tashahud. If it is a prayer that only has two rak'ah, then there's only one tashahud, and that's the last one. But if it's a prayer that has more than two rak'ah, then there will be two tashahud. The pillar is the last one. The last one. The pillar is from the tashahud is the last one. Is the last one. You understand that? Huh? Fajr only has one tashahud. It's the last one. But Dhuhr, it has two tashahud. Which one is the pillar? The last one. Al-akhir. At-tashahud al-akhir. The last tashahud. We're talking about the pillars. Taib also al-julusu lahu. And sitting for the tashahud, sitting there for the tashahud and the taslimatayn, and he's sitting in that position. And then after that, making tashahud al-akhir wa julusu lahu, then after that, as-salatu ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as-salatu ala nabi, naam, julus lahu, and then as-salatu ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then a taslimatayn, two taslims. These are the pillars that the prayer is established by way of them. They must be there. They cannot be forgotten, and they cannot be left, not because of intention, or not based in, not intentionally, and not forgetfully, and not based upon ignorance likewise. So from these 14, five of them are qawliyah, and the rest are fi'liyah. Five of them are qawliyah, by statements, pillars that are performed by statements, and the rest of them are pillars that are performed by actions. So the ones that are statements, of course, Allahu Akbar, Takbiratul Ihram. And after that, the recitation of the Fatiha. And then after that, the Tashahud Al-Akhir. And after that, the Salat on the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And then the Taslimatan. These are from the pillars that are their statements. Their statements. These statements are pillars. They cannot be left. They cannot be left. The rest of the pillars, they are actions. So with regards to the first pillar, al-qiyamu ma'a al-qudra. Al-qiyamu ma'a al-qudra. This is with regards to the obligatory prayer. With regards to the obligatory prayer, it's a pillar, and one he must stand if he has the ability. If he has the ability, he must stand. It has come from the hadith of Imran ibn Husayn radiallahu anhu that he had bawasir. He had bawasir, or kana mabsuran. And he had hemorrhoids, he had a problem that made it difficult for him to move and the likes like this. So he asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about his affair in the prayer. So he told him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Salli qa'iman, pray while you're standing. فَإِلَّمْ تَسْتَطِعْ فَقَاعِدًا. And if you're not able to, then while you're sitting. So you must pray while you're standing. He said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but if you're not able to, then while you're sitting. So therefore the issue here about the qudra, yani this is clear from this narration, that the one who has the ability to stand, he has to stand. He must stand. If he sat down while he has the ability, his prayer will not be correct. Why? Because he left the pillar. Because he left the pillar from the pillars of the prayer. Okay, so the question is now is, when will this pillar fall off? Yani which one is considered not able? Al-qiyamu ma'a al-qudra. To stand along with the ability. So when would somebody be excused from this or consider not having the ability? The people of knowledge, they mention with regards to this that the one who does not have the ability to stand in salat, he's two types. The first one, al-ajzu al-haqiqi. Al-ajzu al-haqiqi. He's truly incapable. He physically does not have the ability. Like for example, somebody who is paralyzed. May Allah give us all good health and wellness in our families and cure the believers, but some people, they're paralyzed and they cannot stand. So this person, he has an ajiz is incapability. He's not able. He does not have the ability. Yani al-haqiqi, in reality, he cannot stand. So somebody in this type of situation where he physically cannot stand, of course, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. You fear Allah as much as you can. فَصَلِّ قَائِمًا فَإِلَّمْ تَسْتَطِعْ فَقَاعِدًا. He has a clear excuse. He has a clear excuse. And the pillar of standing falls off for this individual.
Then the second type, the people of knowledge, they mention al-ajzu al-hukmi.
He has the ruling that he's not capable. And he has the ruling that he's not capable. Meaning that he's actually physically capable, but he takes the ruling of the one who's not capable. So in his case, that pillar will fall out. The pillar will fall off. So in his case, the pillar will fall out. The pillar will fall off. So who is this person? The one who is, he has the ability, but he takes the ruling of the one who is not able. The people of knowledge, they mentioned that this is the one who he has an ailment, or he has an issue with regards to him, or mashaqqa, hardship or difficulty standing, and this difficulty, mashaqqa tashgaluhu an as-salat. It causes him to be preoccupied from the prayer. Somebody who has pains in his body whenever he's standing, and those pains or those ailments, they cause him to be preoccupied with that pain while he's standing until he forgets he's in prayer, or it's as if he's not in prayer, or he cannot focus in the prayer, and he cannot remember in the prayer. It's affecting him so much that all of his focus is going to his pain and going to his ability to trying to stand and trying to bear this burden to fulfill this pillar. This person here, he has the ability to stand, and he's standing. But this standing here and the hardship that comes along with that busies him and preoccupies him from the salah. Then this one, he takes the ruling of the one who is incapable. This one, he takes the ruling of the one who is incapable. We understand that? So somebody who is not of this case, then he is considered qadir. He's considered qadir. Lahu al-qudra. He has the ability. So somebody who can stand, but and there's a bit of difficulty, but it does not preoccupy him from the prayer. It does not busy him from the salat and the likes like that. He stands but with difficulty, but it's a light difficulty. It's a light difficulty. This person, he must stand. Somebody, if it's a light difficulty, but it can become difficult, what would he do? He will begin standing. And then if he needs to, during the prayer, sit down, he's allowed to do that. He will begin standing. He will not just come in and sit down from the beginning, but rather he will stand. He has the ability to stand. He came in standing, for example. But if he stands for a long time or a period of time and the likes like this, it becomes heavy and difficult for him, then this one, he starts out standing and then in the end he sits down. Or whenever the pain becomes too heavy for him and preoccupies him from the prayer, then he's allowed to sit down at this time. So this is the two types of people that are allowed, they're allowed to sit down, and the pillar falls off of them. Because it's very clear that Imran ibn Hussein radiallahu anhu, he has the ability to stand. He's asking about this, and he has the ability, but it's a hardship. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, if you're able to, along with that hardship, to stand, you must stand. But if you're not able to, and it becomes too heavy for you, and he has the physical ability. We're talking about here the clarification of al-ajiz al-hukmi. Al-ajiz al-hukmi, because he has the ability to stand. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that if he's not able to, meaning if it becomes too heavy for him, then he will sit down. And if you can't sit down, then you will lie down. And this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned. And likewise, it has been collected by Bukhari and Muslim as well, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saqata an farasin fajuhisha shiqquhu al-ayman, that an event occurred with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he fell from his horse, and his side was wounded, his right side was wounded sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he prayed sitting. And the people of knowledge, they mentioned that what is apparent from his situation is that he was able to stand, but it was difficult for him sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so he sat down. So therefore, this is the clarification of the one who has the ruling of incapability. While he has the ability physically, but it's hard for him. It's difficult for him. What is the determining factor for this difficulty? When will it become clear for him that he is able to sit down and leave off this pillar? If the mashaqqa, the hardship or the difficulty, preoccupies him from the prayer. That's clear? Now. This one, the brother asked, barakallahu fikum, about the situation in the airplane. Yani these things yani are all, we want to establish the first, the main rules. And then the situations that could come, inshallah, we discuss them as well. But just to mention in the airplane, the people of knowledge, they mention if a person is able to stand, then he has to stand. If he's able to face the Qibla, he has to. For example, if you can get up and go find a place to stand, then you go find a place to stand. And you face the Qibla and you stand and you pray on the plane. You pray on the plane. But if they prohibit you from that, yani some airlines, from my own experience, they wouldn't prohibit us. We will stand up and go pray and they won't say anything. Other airlines, they'll tell you in the beginning, or maybe that was in the beginning, and then later on as they started learning about the Muslims, yani, not afraid to stand up on the plane and pray, on the plane and pray, then yani, they started stopping that. So sometimes they will stop that. They will stop you. If they see you, they'll tell you no. But sometimes they will not also. So if you can, then you can stand up and pray. But if not, then the pillar falls off. Facing the Qibla, the condition of the Qibla, facing the Qibla, all falls off. Yani in the situation of praying in the airplane. Praying in the airplane. Naam. So these issues, inshallah, we discuss them. That yani, they're called yani, tatafarru an al-usul. First, we want to just learn how to make our prayer correct. What is a requirement for our prayer to be correct? That way we know yani, how to perform it properly and how to rectify and fix it. And then from there, we have the foundation and we have yani, the establishment of the salah. And then from there, we can go to the subsidiary issues and affairs that branch off from that, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. So therefore, this also is based upon a great principle from the principles of the deen, yani min al-qawa'id al-fiqhiyya, and that is al-mashaqatu tajribu al-taysir. Al-mashaqatu tajribu al-taysir. And that is that if there is difficulty in a particular situation, then it will bring about ease and the ruling will be lightened in certain situations. And like this, if it's hard to stand, you pray sitting. And if it's hard to pray sitting, you can't do that, then you pray on your side. And the likes like this. So whenever there's difficulty and hardship in the life of a believer, and the legislation has a ruling for that. And it brings ease to him and his obligations that he must be fulfilled. The obligation may not necessarily fall off entirely, but it will be lightened so that he can perform it according to his condition. So that he can perform it according to his condition. يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرِ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمْ الْعُسْرِ. And Allah Azza wa Jal, He wants ease for you, and He does not want hardship for you or difficulty for you. So this is from that aspect. This is from that aspect. Another time, whenever the pillar of standing will fall off, and we just mentioned any briefly so that we are aware of them. And some of these issues we may go to detail, inshallah, and other ones they may not require so much detail. And some of the issues have proceeded, like this issue here, the one who is the imam, who is ratib, the one who is the imam of the masjid, and if he has some type of an ailment yani, that occurred to him, normally he's able to stand. He's the imam of the masjid, the daily imam. The daily imam, he leads the prayer daily. It's called al-imam al-ratib. Al-imam al-ratib. He is the daily imam who leads the daily prayers. If something happens to him and he becomes sick or wounded, and he has to pray while he's sitting down, if he begins his prayer in that manner, then those praying behind him will begin their prayer in that manner likewise. And the obligation of standing falls off of the ma'mumin. Off of the ma'mumin. Whenever the imam, he begins the prayer standing. He begins the prayer, sitting. If he begins the prayer sitting. But if he begins the prayer standing, and then he sits down later, then the people behind him will continue standing, and they will perform their prayer standing. And this is the case. But it's just something that should be noted, that this is the case. The people of knowledge, they mention specifically al-imam al-ratib, the one who is the daily imam, who leads the daily prayers. As for if there's no ratib, there's no imam who normally leads the prayer, like in some of the masajid, they just have brothers who come and they just pick one of themselves to lead the prayer any daily. There's no specific imam for every single prayer and the likes like this. At this time, they will not pick somebody who is not able to stand. At this time, they will not pick somebody who is not able to stand. If there's two, three, four brothers, they want to pray together, and only one of them, and one of them, he cannot stand in the prayer, then they will not pick him and make him the imam. They will not pick him and make him the imam. And then say, well, there'll be people of knowledge. They said, if the imam begins standing, then we stand. Or if he begins sitting, then they sit. This is with regards to al-imam al-ratib. And if they had done that, their prayer is correct. But this is not recommended, and this is not advisable, and this is not good. Rather, the one who is able to fulfill the pillars properly, the one who is able to fulfill all of the pillars properly, he's the one who should be the imam, even if he knows less Quran. even if he knows less Quran. For example, the one who is cannot stand, he memorized the whole Quran, still he would not be recommended to lead the prayer in this manner. He will not be recommended to lead the prayer in this manner. So the situation here is with regards to al-imam al-ratib. If he prays sitting down from the beginning of the prayer, then the pillar of standing falls off those behind him, and they will begin likewise sitting, and they will follow him sitting. But if he begins standing, then they will begin standing and continue standing, and continue standing throughout the rest of the prayer. And this is gathering between the narrations that have come. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned that إِنَّمَا جُعِرَ الْإِمَامُ لِيُتَمَّ بِهِ. And in that narration, he said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the imam, he was only made to be followed. This narration has proceeded. And he said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the end of that narration, وَإِذَا صَلَّ قَائِدًا فَصَلُّوا قُعُودًا أَجْمَعُونَ. أو صلوا قعودا أجمعين, the different narrations. And if the imam, he prays sitting, then you all pray sitting together. Then you all pray sitting together. But what had occurred in the end of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whenever he was sick, and Abu Bakr, he's leading the salat, radiallahu anhu, standing, and then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he came and joined the prayer, and then he became the imam sitting. Then the people behind him, they continued standing. So here the prayer began standing. The imam is standing, and then he sat down. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whenever he became the imam sitting down. But the prayer had begun while Abu Bakr is standing, radiallahu anhu. So the people of knowledge, they mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not tell them to sit down. So this is the means how they have gathered between these evidences. So if the imam, a side issue, huh? If the imam, he leads the prayer, and he begins, al-imam al-ratib, he leads the prayer while he's standing, and then he sits down during the prayer, what do the people behind him do? They continue praying normally, standing. They continue their prayer normally. If the imam, who's ratib, and he begins the prayer sitting down, then what do the people behind him do? They sit down. What about the obligation of standing? They have the ability. It falls off. From the hadith here that's mentioned in the end of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whenever he came out sick and prayed alongside Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, leading the Muslims in the salah. So this is this issue here. As for the non-obligatory prayer, then the people of knowledge, they mention al-qiyamu fi nafila kamalun walaysa ruknan. Kamalun walaysa ruknan. That with regards to the non-obligatory prayer, standing is from the completion or the perfection of the prayer, and it's not a pillar. And these narrations likewise have proceeded, and it's been mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam كان يصلي على دابته حيث توجهت به إلا الفرائض. But he would get down to pray the obligatory prayer, that he would pray the witr on his animal, but the obligatory prayer he would come down. So what is clear from this is that in the non-obligatory prayer, it's permissible to sit down, and the pillar is not, and standing is not a pillar, but it's from the perfection of the prayer. And this is something that the people of knowledge have agreed upon. And there's a wisdom behind this likewise as well. The people of knowledge, they mention, and this is to encourage the people to increase in worship. Meaning that it's an obligation or a pillar to stand in the obligatory, but in the non-obligatory, it's not a pillar. So this is an encouragement, to make it easy. You don't even have to stand. To pray the witr, or to pray the rawatib, or to pray duha, or to pray any non-obligatory prayer. You don't have to stand. So this is an encouragement. You need to go ahead and to worship, and to increase in worship, and to make it easy. And it's better and more perfect to stand, but if somebody was in a situation and it's better for him to sit down, or he needed to sit down, he could sit down with no problem. Even if he did not have any weakness or anything whatsoever, and he began the prayer, not obligatory prayer, sitting down, and he sat down through the whole prayer, his prayer is good and accepted. It's not a pillar. So this is an encouragement, and the legislation to strive to worship Allah Azza wa Jal, and to increase in the actions of obedience, even the ones that are non-obligatory, So there's an issue that the people of knowledge, they mentioned with regards to this. The one who prays the non-obligatory prayer while he's sitting, and he has the ability to stand. And this is something that is allowed, but that has come that he has half of the reward. He has half of the reward of the one who is standing. The one who sits down in a non-obligatory prayer, while he has the ability to stand, he has half of the reward as if he was standing. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was asked about this, and he said, "In salla," and he's asked about a man praying while he's sitting, and he says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "In salla qa'iman, fa huwa afdal. وَمَنْ صَلَّ قَعِيدًا فَلَهُ نِصْفُ أَجْرِ الْقَائِمِ وَمَنْ صَلَّ نَائِمًا فَلَهُ نِصْفُ أَجْرِ الْقَائِدِ." And this is narrated by Al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, that he was asked sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about a person praying while sitting. And it's clear this is about a non-obligatory prayer. And he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if he prayed while he's standing, then that is better and more virtuous. But if he prayed while he's sitting, then he has half of the reward of the one who is standing. And if he prayed while he's laying down, then he has half of the reward of the one who is sitting. So therefore, again, even if a person is laying down, even if he's laying down, and he doesn't have to lay down, he has the ability to sit up, or rather he has the ability to stand, but he doesn't. He sits down, or he lays down, and he prays, then his prayer is accepted, if it's a non-obligatory prayer. If it's a non-obligatory prayer. But the issue here is with regards to the reward. So the one who has the ability but he sat down, he has half of the reward of the one who is standing. And the one who has the ability to stand or sit down but he lays down and he prays, he has half of the reward of the one who is sitting. Half of the reward of the one who is sitting. So this is the case with regards to the one who has the ability. As for the one who does not have the ability, or it's hard for him, he has a legislated excuse, then he has the full reward. Then he has the full reward. If for example, somebody who prayed the obligatory prayer and he doesn't have the ability to stand, or he's excused and he has the legislated excuse, then he has the full reward. And likewise, the one who prayed in the non-obligatory prayer, or rather any prayer, and he prayed sitting down, while he has an excuse to pray sitting down, then he has the full reward. He has the full reward. And the people of knowledge, they mention about this, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's excused from that. He's excused from that. And he's excused from taking the half of the reward. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned that he prayed sometimes sitting, but he always has the full reward. He always has the full reward. And he was praying sitting one time, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he seen him and he asked him about that. And he asked him, "I seen you said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one who prays sitting down, he has half of the reward. And I seen you praying sitting down." So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Lakinni lastu ka ahadin minkum." He said, "But I'm not like any of you. I'm not like any of you." Meaning he has the full reward from Allah Azza wa Jal. He has the full reward from Allah Azza wa Jal. This is narrated by Al-Imam Muslim rahimahullahu ta'ala. So this is from the specific and special qualities of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that even if he prayed sitting down, then he has the reward of the one who is standing, and the full reward sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if he had an excuse, whether it's an obligatory or non-obligatory, his reward is all there. His reward is all there. Damn. So a believer should not hear that, that narration, whoever prays while he's sitting, he has half of the reward of the one standing. And this is with regards to the one who has the ability. This is with regards to the one who has the ability. Somebody who prayed while sitting and he's excused, he has the full reward. He has the full reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this likewise has been narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Sahih Bukhari. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Idha marida al-abdu أو سافر كتب له مثل ما كان يعمله صحيحا مقيما." That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that if the servant, and if an individual, he becomes sick or he travels, then that which he used to do while he is healthy and a resident will be written for him. It will be written for him. And the deeds that he used to do while he was healthy, or the deeds that he used to do and he continue upon daily, that this was from his way, alhamdulillah, that he continued upon this way daily, from the actions of obedience and worship and the actions of goodness, and then he became sick and he was not able to do them, it would be written for him. It would be written for him that which he used to do. And likewise, if he traveled and the likes, it would be written for him. So the one who normally he stands while he's praying, and then something happened to him and he's tried with a sickness, then he sits down to pray, he has the reward as if he was healthy, and that which he used to do whenever he is healthy, whenever he is healthy. So this is the issue with regards to standing. So there's another issue about this, and the people of knowledge, they mentioned the one who is is yani shibhu ajiz. Yani he's able to stand, but he's almost incapable. He's almost incapable, but not really incapable. He's between the two. He has the ability, and it's a hardship, but if he leans on something, he can stand properly. If he leans on something like a stick, or if he leaned on a pillar, for example, or if he rested on something, he had something to rest on, he could stand properly. So this one, the people of knowledge, they mentioned that if he were to be able to for example, stand on a stick or on crutches and the likes like that, without any extra hardship, without going to the limits, yani, like without, you know, doing too much and trying to stand and putting himself in hardship and the likes like that, but he could stand in the prayer using crutches or using something to stand with, and it's not going to extremes and not hard for him, then it's incumbent for him to pray in that manner. It's incumbent for him to pray in that manner. Why? Because he has the ability. He has the ability to stand. And he's not making takalluf. He's not going over the boundary. He's not bringing hardship to himself. It's not anything extra he can stand. It's hard for him to stand by himself. But if he has a stick, or if he has crutches, or if he has something to hold on to or to lean on to, even the people of knowledge, they mentioned to lean on a wall or to lean on somebody by him, next to him and the likes like that, then he can do that without any extra hardship, then it's incumbent and an obligation for him to stand. Because at this time, he's considered yani capable. At this time, he's considered capable. And likewise, it has been collected by Abu Dawood that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned, لَمَّا أَسَنَّ وَحَمَلَ اللَّحَمِ اتَّخَذَ عُمُودًا فِي مُصَلَّهُ يَعْتَمِدُ عَلَيْهِ, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, whenever he became older and he got heavier and a bit weaker, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he had a pillar that he would lean against in his musalla, and the place where he would pray, and the place where he would pray. And this likewise had been narrated from some of the companions, any that particularly in the Taraweeh, whenever the prayer would be long, and the imam would lead the prayer a long time in the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, he would command Ubay ibn Ka'b, and likewise Tamim al-Dari radiallahu anhum jami'an, he would command them to lead the salat in the Taraweeh, and they would lead the prayer for a long time. And they would, in some narrations, he commanded them to pray 11 rak'ah. Other narrations that they were praying 23 or 39, any different numbers. But it has come that they would be in their prayer and they would recite al-mi'in. They would recite the long surahs, the long portions of the Quran, and it would last until just before Fajr. And it would last until just before Fajr. And they would say that we used to take sticks, any sticks, any for to stand on, any because of the length of the recitation. So this is an evidence from the Quran, an evidence from the Sunnah, and likewise from the actions of the Sahaba, yani that the one who's able to stand along with something that he would lean on, and without any extra hardship, then he must do that. He's not excused. He's not excused. Any questions with regards to Al-Qiyam?
I thought I heard a hadith where they saw a rope in the middle of the masjid.
Mm-hmm. Sah. That was the hadith of Salama. Taqriban Salama. He took it down. I don't know. Wallahu a'lam. I thought about that today, but I didn't research it. I didn't get there myself. Yeah, the hadith of I think it's Salama. She had a rope in the middle of the masjid, and he seen that, but he took it down. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wallahu a'lam. Maybe, wallahu a'lam. Inshallah, we look, inshallah. Jazakallah khaira. That's a good question. It's the right place for it. Barakallahu fik. Any other questions? Khalas. Okay. What's the next pillar? After Qiyam. Takbirat al-Ihram. Takbirat al-Ihram. We know that the requirement for that is that it must be Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Any other words that have the same meaning or a similar meaning, magnifying, glorifying, praising Allah, will not suffice. It will not suffice. If somebody said Allahu A'lam, or said Allahu Azim, Allahu Kabir, and he has the same meaning, like this, but it will not be correct. It will not be correct. It has to be Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And the narrations have become mentioning this, that the Prophet ﷺ, he said, إِذَا قُمْتَ إِلَى صَلَاتِ فَكَبِّرْ, فَكَبِّرْ. And even some narration, the meaning of kabir, kul Allahu Akbar. And even some of the words have come, قُلْ أَلَّهُ أَكْبَرُ. And this is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would say likewise. And it's never mentioned that he said something other than that. So from the usul and the greatest principles with regards to this issue here is the statement of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَصَلُّوا كَمَا رَأَيْتُمُونِي أُصَلِّي. Naam, and pray as you have seen me pray. And then after that, all these other narrations, whether from statements or from actions, they're clarifying that meaning in detail. They're clarifying that meaning in detail. And that narration and these narrations are clarifying the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, wa aqimu salah. And so this is the clarification of that. So we see, whenever we see that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he performed the prayer and he never left. And this is a strong evidence. It's called a muwadhaba. Al-muwadhaba tu ala shay. That he would continue to do it every time. And he never left it. These are indications that these are requirements. So this is from that aspect that he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say Allahu Akbar. And he said Allahu Akbar. And he is the one who's clarifying the prayer. So if somebody said Allahu Akam, or Allahu Akram, or Allahu A'zam, or Allahu Kabir, Allahu Azim, like this, it would not be correct. The obligation is to say Allahu Akbar. If he changed the letters and changed the meaning, likewise, this would not be correct. An indication that the person, he must learn how to say it properly and make effort to learn how to pronounce the words of the salat properly according to his ability. But some people go to extremes and add the med in a place it doesn't belong, or add the shadda in a place it doesn't belong, and it will change the meaning. And sometimes the meaning will not even be good. So a believer, sometimes the meaning could be contrary. Instead of tawheed, Allahu Akbar, and the glory of Allah, Allahu Akbar, asking a question, meaning having doubt. Is Allah the greatest? And to go from tawheed to having doubt, but the person, he doesn't have doubt, but the statement that he's making has that meaning. So therefore, a believer, he will learn how to say these words properly. Yani in general, with learning how to read the Quran, but specifically with regards to obligations. This obligation, rather, it's the greatest obligation after the shahadatain, the salah. So a believer, he will show great concern with that. From the most beloved actions to Allah Azza wa Jalla, and the greatest means to draw near to Him after establishing the proper creed and the foundation of the deen and the iman that is correct, to perform the prayer. The prayer was legislated where? How was the prayer legislated? How were all the rulings legislated? It was revelation that was revealed from the heavens. And came down to the earth. As for the prayer, it was... The Prophet, he went to the heavens. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he went to the heavens. It didn't come down like that to him. Rather, he went up there. And then it was legislated in this manner. Salat is azima. It is very, very great. A believer, he will honor that and respect that and know that. And learn how to make the prayer property. And from that, learning how to say Allahu Akbar. From that, learning how to say Sami Allahu liman hamida. From that, learning how to say the issues to the best of one's ability. That means to take time. That means, for example, to go to somebody you trust and you know he knows Arabic, for example, and read it to him. Let me read the words of the prayer. Let me read the tashahud to you. Let me see if I'm reading it right. Especially somebody who didn't learn it from, or who doesn't know Arabic, for example, and they learned it from the transliteration, for example, like this. And he go to somebody and ask them, can I read the tashahud for you? Can I read the Fatiha for you? Can you make some, I heard you read, mashallah, you can read it clearly, alhamdulillah. Do you think you can help me tune up my Fatiha so I can pronounce it properly and see if there's any mistakes and the likes like that, and the rest of the pronunciations or the rest of the wordings of the prayer, and to show concern for this. And Shaykh Yuthkar, likewise the rest of the Quran and the Hadith, and likewise the Adhkar in the morning and Sabah, the same issue. You need to check them with somebody, to recite them to somebody, and let them listen and make sure that there's no mistakes and errors and the likes like that. These are legislated words and legislated texts. You need the Quran is memorized precisely and recited precisely. And likewise, these Adhkar in the morning, the Adhkar of the Salawat, and then after that, Adhkar in the morning and the evening and the rest of the Adhkar throughout the day and the night, they should be memorized precisely. The Tashahud should be memorized precisely. Salat al-Istikhara and the Dua of Istikhara should be memorized precisely. Now, even came in the Hadith, عَلَّمَا إِسْتِخَارَ كَمَا كَانَ يُعَلِّمُنَا سُورَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ, that he taught us the Istikhara, the wording of the Dua of Istikhara, the way he taught us the Qur'an. Yani meaning like you don't add to it, you don't take from it. So some of the Adhkar are like that. These Adhkar, they're like that. You learn them as they are. And you don't add to them or take away from them. But if you're not careful, then maybe sometimes you memorize 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then some of them are similar and they get mixed up. They get mixed up. Or maybe one will memorize them wrong and he will have mistakes in them that will actually change the meaning and the likes like this. So to check with somebody and to read to somebody, this is good. And this is from the greatest aspect of it. Ta'awun ala al-birri wa taqwa. Ta'awun ala talab al-ilm wa ala dhabt al-nusus. Yani to work and to cooperate together upon seeking knowledge and yani learning the text properly and clearly and memorizing them good. This is something that is beloved to Allah and a great effort and a great act of worship. May Allah give us success to be upon that path, to be upon that path, the path of Jannah, the path of Jannah. What's the proof? من سلك الطريق أن يلتمس فيه علما سهل الله به طريقا إلى الجنة. أحسنت. Whoever sets out on a path to seek knowledge, then Allah will make easy for him by way of that a path to al-Jannah, a path to al-Jannah. أحسنت. نعم. So what was the issue? التكبير التكبير تكبيرة الإحرام. نعم. This came in the hadith of Ali that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam likewise he said about the salat مفتاحه مفتاحها الطهور و وتحريمها التكبير وتحريمها التكبير. يعني one enters into that sacred state with التكبير. What is التكبير? To say الله أكبر الله أكبر. نعم. وتحريرها التسليم وتحريرها التسليم. This is another one of those texts that is like a foundation and a fundamental principle that will be with us in this chapter. It's in Sunan Abi Dawood. So those who can remember these few words, likewise, these are from those few beneficial words a believer he will memorize from the statements of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. مفتاح he was asked about salat. مفتاحها الطهور وتحريمها التكبير وتحريرها التسليم التسليم التسليم. Now, just a few words, few jumal ismiya, couple of mubtadas and khabars for the Arabic students. Naam. Okay, so then after that, what is the next pillar? Afwan. Naam. Al-Fatiha. Naam. Allahu a'lam. Al-Dhabit, yani. Allahu a'lam. It has to be pronounced. No doubt, it has to be pronounced. One could not say, Jazakallah khair. One could not say, yani, I said Allahu Akbar. Did you know that? And to himself, in his heart, he can't be any hadith al-nafs. He has to say it. He has to say it. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. It has to be pronounced. Yani, and the likes. It cannot be yani, something that he doesn't say. Just like the qira'ah, that the lips have to move. Allahu Akbar. The lips have to move. The lips have to move. And whenever one is reading the Quran, for example, the lips have to move. It's qira'ah. Qira'ah, bishafatayn, and the tongue and the lips, they move. And the recitation, even if he's not reciting audibly, even if he's not reciting audibly, his lips are moving. His lips are moving. Tayyib al-Thalith. Again, the third one. Qira'atu al-Fatiha. Qira'atul Fatiha. The people of knowledge, they have an agreement that reciting the Quran is a pillar in the prayer. They differed about this issue, but the majority of the scholars, they have the opinion that the Fatiha is a pillar. The Fatiha is a pillar. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says, فَقَرَعُوا مَا تَيَسَّرَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ. Naam. And then likewise in this hadith, the hadith of Musi' al-Sara, what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tell him? And he based upon this verse, likewise. ثُمْ اِقْرَأْ مَا تَيَسَّرَ مَعَكَ من القرآن. يعني the same thing that Allah عز وجل he mentioned. فقرأوا ما تيسر من القرآن. And likewise, there have been other narrations that clarified يعني what that meant, and that he said صلى الله عليه وسلم اقرأ الفاتحة أو اقرأ بأم الكتاب ثم اقرأ ما شئت أو ما شاء الله. Like this. So this has been clarified. What does it mean to read what is easy for you from the Quran? يعني read the فاتحة first, and then after that, what is easy for you from the Quran? From the Quran. So the majority of the scholars, yani the word the people of knowledge they mentioned is called al-jumhur. Al-jumhur. Whenever we study these issues, it's very important to learn mustalahat and to learn terminology, at least to have a basic understanding so that whenever a person he hears them, he knows what is intended by way of them. So if somebody says al-jumhur, al-jumhur meaning is like the majority of the scholars. Jumhur al-ulama. Jumhur al-ulama. The majority of the scholars. Yani any particular issue. So these words are mentioned a lot. So we try to add them in our classes. So we learn them one time, and after that, we don't have to use English anymore with regards to that issue. So if somebody said, al-jumhur, they believe that the Fatiha is a pillar. What does that mean? The majority of the scholars. Like that. Like that. This helps. I need to learn the Arabic language. Jumhur. Then the plural of Jumhur is Jamahir. That's even the greater majority. And even a greater majority. And each of these words, any with particular madhahib, they have even more specific and detailed meanings. We're just going into the general understanding. And the likes. If they say Al-Ijma', what does that mean? Al-Ijma'? Consensus. Consensus of who? Me and you. Consensus of the ulama, yani of the sahaba first and foremost in those days, in the best generation, and then even after that could be ijma' of the people of knowledge, al-ijma'. This is a strong proof, yani one of the proofs of establishing an evidence is ijma'. And then also they have al-ittifaq. They might say al-ittifaq. This is lesser than ijma'. And this is the agreement, meaning the many of the scholars, they agreed about this, or the madhahib al-arba, they agreed about this. They'll say ittifaq al-ulama. اتفاق العلماء يعني اتفاق المذاهب الأربعة. اتفاق المذاهب الأربعة. اتفاق. يعني they agreed upon this affair. So here with regards to recitation of the Quran and Salah, there's an اتفاق. What does that mean? that means that Abu Hanifa and Malik and Shafi and Imam Ahmed, they all agreed that reading something from the Quran is a pillar. اتفاق العلماء. Meaning the مذاهب الأربعة. The مذاهب الأربعة. We understand that? Alhamdulillah. They differed about the pillars, and we won't go to the great details. But we know that the Jumhur, the majority of the scholars, they say it's a pillar. So therefore we learn it's a pillar. Reciting the Fatiha is a pillar. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا صلاة لمن لم يقرأ بفاتحة الكتاب. There's no prayer for the one who did not recite Fatiha al-Kitab in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim. And likewise he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, من صلى الصلاة لم يقرأ فيها بأم القرآن فهي خداج أي غير تمام. That whoever prays a prayer and he did not recite أم القرآن, then his prayer is خداج, يعني ناقصة. خداج غير تمام. It's not complete. So the person who left off the Fatiha on purpose and he knowing that the prayer is not complete without the Fatiha, then how could his prayer be accepted? He did something that would make his prayer not complete. Huh? What does khidaj mean? Naqisa, ghayru tamam. He said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So therefore to make it tamam, you have to recite Al-Fatiha. So these are from the evidences that the Fatiha is a pillar. There's another evidence. We just talked about it. Usallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. Naam al-muwadhabat al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He always recited the Fatiha. He always recited the Fatiha. طيب, is the Fatiha a pillar in one rak'ah or in every rak'ah? The ulama are different about this again, but we just do. I mentioned this now just so that we know. It's very good to know that in issues of fiqh about how to worship or about some of the affairs of halal and haram, not about aqidah, not about iman, al-imanu billah wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusulihi wa yawm al-akhir wa al-qadri ani khayrihi wa sharrihi, there's no difference about that. These affairs, there's no difference about that, not amongst the ummah, yani the people of the sunnah, and not amongst the previous ummah. Every messenger and prophet, he came with the usul of iman. Every prophet he came calling to tawheed alone. وَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَّهٍ غَيْرُ. All of the prophets that came with the pillar of angels, they believe in angels and revelation and the last day, all and the decree of Allah Azza wa Jalla, all and tawheed, all of this is in all of the previous revelations. This here is agreed upon. But as for the actions, of worship, the different legislations differed. And likewise in the legislation of Al-Islam, the people of knowledge, they have differed about some of these affairs. So sometimes the difference of knowledge is very strong. Sometimes the difference of opinion is very strong. You'll read this issue and you'll see the proofs and you'll be like, that's the right way. This is the sunnah. Then you read the other position and their proofs and they'll like, this is the sunnah. Like this. So in this situation like this, yani this one, a person, if he's able to read and he's able to see which one is clearer for him and closer to the truth and he'll worship Allah with that, he will do that. If he's not able to do that, he'll follow one of those. As long as it's from the both of them are from the people of the sunnah. From the ulama of hadith, from the people who are known, yani from Ahl Sunnah, then he will follow either one of them. He's not blameworthy. He's not blameworthy. As for the one who has the ability to look into their statements and seek the aid of Allah as well, to try to see which one is closer to the truth and that he believes is right, then he will do that and he will follow that. He will do that and he will follow that. One thing he will not do is bring a third statement. One thing he will not do is bring a third statement. He will not go bring something. He will read these other texts and then, well, what about this one? And then say, la, he will go to what is already established. What is already, Imam Ahmad, he used to say, iyaka. And to tahaddith fi masala laysa laka fiha imam. And you beware of speaking about an issue in the deen that you have no imam in. Imam Ahmad, he died in 241. This is what he would say. So you don't bring up new statements. Yani bring up new statements. Rather, the one who has the ability, he'll look into the statements of the ulama and the differences of the ulama, and then he'll look and find which one is most correct, yani according to what he knows and the likes like that, and he'll follow that. But it's important to know about this issue. So that way a person, he will be lighter. Yani, and he will see somebody, for example, praying a different way than he's praying. Then if he knows these issues, that there's differences of opinion, that for example in this issue the Hanafi madhab said this, then you will see him, oh, he's following the Hanafi madhab. He's a blind follower. And so you have, at very least you have mercy for him. And for example, just to mention, the Hanafi madhab, they say that you don't have to recite the Fatiha. Somebody could come to the prayer and say, Allahu Ahkam. And then after that he could say, Kul hu Allahu Ahad, Allahu Samad, Lam Yalid wa Lam Yulad, like this. He would not say Allahu Akbar. He left the pillar. He didn't recite the Fatiha. He came with Qul huwallahu ahad. With the Hanafiyyah, it's correct. His prayer is good. His prayer is good. So to learn about the differences of opinion, to be aware of them, and these affairs like this is very beneficial for a believer, so that he will not be hasty, and he will understand the reality of different situations and people, where they come from and lands, and how they have been cultivated and raised. And likewise, he will see if he's following an evidence and he's upon clarity and he knows what they're doing is contrary to the hadith, contrary to the Quran, he will say, Alhamdulillah, Allah taught me. Allah didn't teach him. Allah guided me. Allah didn't guide him. Allah showed me. Allah didn't show him. So he will be humble and he will be thankful. And to see this, many of the Muslims, they're following misguidance and they're following desires and they're following, blind following this one and that one, and without any proof. And some of them are staunch in that, blind following their forefathers. So to have knowledge, to be able to see that clearly is such a great benefit. Such a great benefit. We say Alhamdulillah. Now, وَعَلَّمَكَ مَا لَمْ تُكُمْ تَعْلَمُ وَكَانَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ عَظِيمًا. It's a great fadl from Allah Azza wa Jalla, and mercy and grace that He would teach you His deen. That He would pick you from the rest of the people. That He would pick you from the rest of the people and teach you His deen. And teach you His deen. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. There's another issue that people of knowledge, they mentioned with regards to the pillar of the recitation of Al-Fatiha. And that is the Fatiha, it has meanings, no doubt, great meanings. Whether it's called Al-Kitab, Al-Qur'an, and the fundamental and the foundation of the book, of the Qur'an. Al-Shay, yani ma yarji'u ilayhi, yani ghayru, and the rest of it comes back to it. For example, they call it the because, like, for example, the children, they always stick with the mother. They always come back to the mother. So the mother of something, any meaning, the foundation of it, that the rest of the affairs come back to. So this is the issue of the Fatiha. But the issue, that it's the Al-Qur'an. It's very important for a believer to learn the meanings of the Fatiha, first and foremost. But here, with regards to the pillar of Al-Fatiha, one has to be able to recite it properly without changing the meanings. Without changing the meanings. There are mistakes, that'll be forgiven, and it's considered, that'll be pardoned for that person, and his prayer will be considered correct. But there are other types of mistakes that will make the prayer invalid. And if a person, he made it, for example, if he said, "Aladina an'amtu alayhim," "Sirat aladina an'amtu alayhim," what does that mean? The path of those whom I have bestowed blessings and favors upon. And I'm too. This means me. That means I'm given the blessing. That's what it means. But the right rest, and I'm ta, anta, Allah, that you have bestowed your blessings upon. So this is from those examples that changed the entire meaning. And also from the issue here, the people of knowledge, they mentioned that in the Fatiha there are 11 shadda. There are 11 shadda. What is shadda? Huh? The double letter that looks like the sin, nam, or a w, like this. The shadda, what does that mean? It means there's two letters there. There's two letters there. Like, for example, iyyaka. Iyaka. Iyaka. There's two yas. One of them has a sukun, the first one, and the second one has a fetha. So then you have to pronounce both of them. They're both letters from the Fatiha. So meaning here, the point that every letter has to be recited. If somebody said Iyaka, Iyaka, he left off a ya. The people of Nanas, they mentioned that his Fatiha is incorrect and the prayer likewise is invalid. Iyaka, Iyaka, Iyaka. There's not Iyaka, Iyaka, because there's two yas. One of them has a sukun and the other one has a fatha. This is the way of the shadda, by the way. The shadda, the first it has two letters. If it's on a lam, if it's on a lam, for example, what a lalin. The Lord has it likewise. Al-Lin. So there's two lambs. One of them has a sukun. The other one here has a kasra. Has a kasra. So the first one has a sukun always. And the second letter, it has whatever is written there. Or whatever that either word requires. So this is the issue that the shadda, it must be pronounced. It must be pronounced. Or else the recitation is not correct. Again, giving the importance to learning how to recite the issues in the prayer properly. The Fatiha, it is not every single person has to learn how to recite the Fatiha. Not everybody has to memorize Al-Baqarah. Or not even everybody has to memorize Qul Huwa Allahu Ahad. Nobody would say that it's obligatory. He's sinning if he didn't do it. Yani, no doubt we wouldn't want to leave that off. But what is the requirement? Al-Fatiha. Al-Fatiha. So therefore, again, this is an indication. It's recited 17 times a day, an obligation. An obligation. This is an indication that this stuff, that this particular chapter here needs to be learned properly. And the meanings, they have to be understood likewise. Anything that comes in the legislation that is repeated daily or repeated weekly and the likes like this, these affairs here like Khutbat al-Hajjah, this is amazing. The one who learns this. This is on repeated every single Jumu'ah. There's an indication that this contains something great. That this contains something great. Surat al-Insan and Surat al-Sajda. And every single Jumu'ah it's recited, this is an indication that there's something great in here. Surat al-Kahf. And just for example, here we're talking about Al-Fatiha, even more emphasized. Because it's a pillar of the prayer and the prayer is not accepted by way of it. So a believer, he'll give concern about how to recite it properly. How to say it to the best of his ability. To the best of his ability. So what would that require for him to do? To go to somebody and say, لا أحسن غيره فعلمني. Just like the man here in our narration said, what did he say? I can't do better than that. Teach me. Teach me. ومن تواضع لله رفعه الله. And whoever humbled himself for the sake of Allah, because to go to somebody and to learn from them, that requires humbleness. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Mustakbir la yata'allamu mustakbir." He will not learn. The one who is arrogant, he will not learn. So be humble and go ask somebody from the students or from the brothers who are in our community. Alhamdulillah, there's plenty of brothers who are qualified to correct the likes of these affairs, the Quran and the Fatiha and the Athkar in the morning and the evening, or the Athkar of the Salat and the likes like this first and foremost. And if this is something that is very beneficial and a requirement. And it's so that one, he will recite it properly. So therefore, you need to pay attention to the recitation of the Fatiha and to be able to recite it to the minimum requirement. The minimum requirement to where he recites every letter and he says every letter, he doesn't skip letters or eat letters or change the meaning, then inshallah, if he did this, then his recitation will be correct, even if he didn't know tajweed. The issue here is not learning about tajweed. The issue here is about learning how to recite it, the words, properly and clearly, so that the meaning is correct. Naam, hadha wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad. وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.